All right, Rabbi Osai, good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Chaf. We are picking up on Yud Testament days at the Mishnah. We thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Tishrei, to thank Jacob and Julie Blumenfeld for dedicating the Shiurim this month in memory of their grandmothers. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an Aliyah and the family a Nechama. Rabbi Osai, with that, let's begin. Natal Evan Okoro Shal Hekdish Harezo Lo Maals. Well, it's an interesting case. If a person takes a stone or a beam of Hekdish, he has not committed Me'ilah. They're both saying, so if we take a look at Tosis on the right hand side writes, Natal Evan Okoro Shal Hekdish Harezo Lo Maal. What does this mean? He says, Bigimara Mukila Ba'avonim Hamasuros Lo Legizbar Askina. She'inon yosin chulin b'netilas ha'gizbar lefi she'ino motzi mirshus hekdish b'netilaso she'kozman she b'rshus ha'gizbar harihi b'rshus hekdish ad she'yotzi eno mirshus. So if you remember again, so Tosas explains as follows. The case in the Mishnah is dealing with a gizbar. Gizbar is the temple treasurer. So the halacha is that whenever something is in the domain of the temple treasurer, it is still considered as if it is in the domain of the Beis HaMikdash. So remember again, in order for Me'ilah to occur, an Amayana has to be transferred out of the domain of the Beis HaMikdash into the domain of, we'll call it, Chulin. So the Mishnah is teaching you over here that when a Gizbar goes ahead and takes something from the Beis HaMikdash, amazingly enough, that's not Me'ilah. Because the Gizbar's hand is the hand of the Beis HaMikdash. So the servo says, so remember, under normal circumstances, if I, a regular guy, walk over to a piece of wood or to a stone belonging to the Beis HaMikdash and I lift it up, that in and of itself could be considered a Me'ilah under certain circumstances. Because my act of lifting it up, by definition, results in a transfer of domain from the Beis HaMikdash to mundane, regular domain. On the flip side, the Gizbar's hand is the Beis HaMikdash's hand. And as such, his lifting up of something does not automatically go ahead and transfer it to the domain of Chulin. Top of Chaf. However, Nasna Lachavero, let's say if I go ahead and then, let's say I'm the Gizbar, I then go ahead and give over this piece of wood or this stone to my friend, the Humal, right? Humal the Chavero Lomal. So we'll say if I give it over to my friend, then what? I, the Gizbar, have committed Me'ilah. My friend has not committed Me'ilah. Take a look at Tosis. Nasal lechavero huma al perish gizbar lefisha yatsa lechulim michinasna lechavero shahotzi mirashuso. So we'll say, so we've touched on this concept of shlichos by Me'ilah. We're going to focus on it more today. So we'll say, salach lemaisa, if I'm the gizbar, then I only affect Me'ilah when? At the time, ultimately, again, that I hand it over to my friend. At that point in time, then the item is, quote-unquote, successfully removed from the domain of Hekdish and given over into the domain of a regular person. Bina b'soch b'so. So we'll say, so presumably, we're still talking about the case of a Gizbar. The Gemara is going to explain all of these cases, obviously. Bina b'soch b'so. If I took, I'm the Gizbar, and I went ahead and I took the stone or the piece of wood and I built it into my home. I have not committed Me'ilah until when? Until I live under it, so to speak, enough to get one pruta of hana from it. So if I built it into my home, the act of building it into my home is not Me'ilah. It's only once I derive a pruta's worth of benefit from it that I've committed Me'ilah. Natal pruta, again, but we'll define all of these cases. Natal pruta shall hekdish hareza lamal. If I take a pruta of hekdish, so I'll say, presumably we're still talking about the gizbar. So if the gizbar took a pruta of hekdish, he has not committed me'ilah. Because remember again, the hand of the gizbar is the hand of the Beis HaMikdash. Nasna lachavero. But if I gave the pruta to my friend, humal b'chavero lamal. So I'll say, in that case, the gizbar has committed me'ilah. And his friend has not committed Me'ilah, right? The act of giving it to my friend effectively transfers it out of Hekdish domain. So I, the Gizbar, have committed Me'ilah. My friend has not committed Me'ilah. Nasna la balan, Suppose an interesting case. What happens if I give it, Balan is a bathhouse attendant. Suppose I, so again, still the assumption is I am the Gizbar. Remember again, here is the theme. The Gizbar's hand is the hand of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, under normal circumstances, if I go over to the Beis HaMikdash and I lift up a pruta from the Beis HaMikdash, that act of lifting it up is in and of itself me'ila. Because remember, I acquire it when I lift it up. I'm removing it from Beis HaMikdash domain, putting it into my domain. If, however, I am the Gizbar, my hand is the Beis HaMikdash's hand. And as such, for the Gizbar to commit to me'ila, there has to be another step through which he transfers ownership of this item to someone else outside of him. So if I give it to my friend, that could be me'ila. If I go ahead and, so in this case over here, I'm going ahead and giving the pruta to the bathhouse attendant. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to the bathhouse, costs money to use the bathhouse, I give him the pruta. So what's the halacha? Afa pi shelo rachatz ma'am, even though I have not yet used. I have not yet used the bathhouse. Nevertheless, I've committed me'ila. I've committed me'ila. Why? I'm sorry. Oh, shu omer lo hare hamerchatz pasuach lefanecha harch ikanis urchatz. So essentially, again, I've purchased the service. Good. I've purchased an entry ticket. Once I paid the money, the bathhouse attendant says, my bathhouse is your kingdom. Right? Enjoy. So the fact that now I have purchased this right in and of itself creates a me'ila scenario. Good. We'll say next part of the Mishnah. Achilasa v'achilas chavero. We'll say if I consume an item of hagdish and my friend consumes part of that same hagdish, so what's the halacha? Or haniyasa v'chaniyas chavero. Or I benefit from hagdish and my friend benefits from hagdish. Achilasa v'anias chavero. Or I eat some of Hagdish, and my friend benefits from Hagdish. What was I say? This is all talking about shared liability. If you look at Tosas says over here, Achilas of Achilas Chaveiro Perish, Ochal Bechatzi Pruta, Vehechil Chaveiro Bechatzi Pruta, Hanias of Anias Chaveiro, Kigon Shesach Asmo B'Shemesh Al Hagdish Bechatzi Pruta, Vesach Chaveiro Bechatzi Pruta, Mitztarfim Zeh Im Zeh, Vafil Zeh. What was I say? So the point of this part of the Mishnah is that halacha l'maisa, different acts of consumption, right? Different acts of hana'ah can combine. So if I eat the half a kizayis of hekdish, and my friend eats the other half a kizayis, I get a half a pruta of hana'ah from an item of hekdish, and my friend gets a half a pruta from the other same item, or for that matter, hanias chavero, hanias vanias chavero, Achilaso v'hanias chavero, or I have an item of hagdish, I eat half of it, and my friend gets hana with the other half of it. Haniaso, I get benefit from a piece of hagdish. Vavilas chavero, achilas chavero, and my friend consumes the other part of it. What's the halacha? Mitztarfim ze im ze, vafilu lizman meruba. We're going to see everything. So right now, the assumption is this is not Gizbar anymore, right? This is a different case over here. Remember, this doesn't have to be the Gizbar case, because remember, again, the Gizbar case is only necessary in the first part of the Mishnah, where ultimately I needed a transfer of domain in order to affect Me'ila. This presumably is talking about any individual over here. The klal of the Mishnah being that two acts of consumption, two acts of hana, an act of consumption, act of hana, have the ability to be mustarif, ultimately to create a unit of me'ila. Good. Says the Gemara. Maishnahu umayshna chavero. Remember again, Tosis already defined for us what the nature of this case is. But the Gemara is a bit puzzled by it. The Gemara is wondering, looking at the first case of Mishnah, where a person took a stone or a beam belonging to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah said, I have not committed me'ila until I give it to my friend. Why? Why don't I commit me'ila the moment I go ahead and pick up the stone, the moment I pick up the beam? Because the moment I do that, ultimately I'm transferring the item from the domain of the Beis HaMikdash to my domain. Amar Shmuel, Begizbar Hamasuros Lo Askinon. Because we also say Shmuel explains, we already knew this before, but we're saying it now. So Shmuel says, what's the case? The case of it is we're dealing with the Gizbar of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gizbar, the temple treasurer, ultimately, again, is responsible for the items, for the possessions of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, we'll say, amazingly enough, whereas by a regular person picking up an item of Hekdesh with intention to acquire it, in and of itself creates a Me'ila situation, by Gizbar, that is not the case. By Gizbar, his hand is the Beis HaMikdash's hand, and as such, again, when he lifts up an item, that does not affect Me'ila. It is only when he lifts it up and transfers it to someone else, that's when Me'ila is affected. The Gemara goes, Vayter Banal B'Zok Beis HaInuchai. Remember again, the Mishnah said, if he takes the beam or he takes the piece of wood and he builds it into his home, he's only chai from Me'ila when he derives at least a pruta of hana'a from living in the home. So interestingly enough, the act of building it into your house does not affect Me'ila. It's only once you live under it and get a pruta's worth of hana'a from living under it. Lamali achidar tachtel. I don't understand. Why doesn't he transgress Me'ila until he lives under it for a pruta's worth of benefit? Kevan deshanye ma'o. We'll say, remember again, the assumption is of what? If you're going ahead and you're building and you're putting a beam or you're putting a stone into your home, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to chisel it, do something with it. So you're supposed to say the act of changing an item, right? The act of changing something from Hekdesh also acquires it for Me'ila purposes. See, even before I live in the home, even before I get any level of benefit, the act of somehow chiseling or changing the wood or the stone should be enough to affect Me'ila. Amarav, Rav says, oh, kigon she'enicha api aruba. So we'll say to which Rav says, what's the case? So literally translated, it's where I put the stone in an opening in the ceiling where there was a skylight. Which will say, there's another way of saying that halacha l'maisa, the stone didn't need to be chiseled. It was perfect. It fit right in. There was no shinui that was necessary. So again, einach inami, had I taken a stone from the Beis HaMikdash and done something to it and chiseled it or changed it, I would have acquired it for Me'ila purposes with the act of shinui. The particular case in question over here is where the stone was a perfect fit without any modifications. In such a situation like that, I only transgress Me'ila after I live in the home and derive a pruta's worth of benefit from the stone itself. Lema Maseyel, I suppose that's bringing a brisa to support this. Lema Maseyel, Rav. Dom Rav. Because Rav says as follows. What's the case? Hamishtachavet lebayis asram. So we'll say, interestingly enough, if Rav says, if you go ahead and you bow down to a house, halacha lemaisa, you've astrid it. So we'll say, if you worship a house as Avodah Zarah, you've astrid the house. Look at Tosas in just a moment. Lema Maseyel Rav. We'll say it's in the intermediate wide lines, about five lines in. So interestingly enough, what the Gemara is bothered by is a different situation, which is we got finished saying last week that halacha l'maisa, once something is mechubar lekarka, it is no longer subject to me'ila. So here I have a different situation. If you're taking a stone and building into a home, is that not mechubar? And if it's mechubar, then it shouldn't be subject to Me'ila. To which the Gemara says, this brisa supports the view of Rav. What does Rav say? Rav says that if you bow down to a home and you worship a home as Avodah Zarah, then what's the halacha? It becomes Avodah Zarah. The home is mechubar, right? The home is attached. So Rav apparently holds that something that was talush, ulubasof mechubar, something that was detached and then was attached, retains its status as detached. So in other words, halacha l'maisa, since the building materials were detached from the ground, therefore halacha l'maisa, they retain their detached identity even once they are built into a home. So Amar Rav Acha Bar Dravika, hano hanira le'inayim asra Torah. So we'll say Rav Acha Bar Dravika could say, you know what, it could very well be that even if you hold talush ulubasov chibro, that something that was detached, subsequently attached, has the status of being attached, of being mechubar, This case of the stone of the Beis HaMikdash is different. Why? Because this is what's called Hana'a Hanira Le'inayim. If indeed we're dealing with a case where what? The stone was taken from the Beis HaMikdash, didn't have to be changed at all, was put right into an opening of the roof, that stone is visible. That stone is there. So it could very well be that even though now it's attached, since it is discernible and visible, therefore once you get a hana of living benefits from it, you have transgressed me'ilah. So we'll say, what the Gemara was assuming over here is, in order to make you chayiv from me'ilah on the stone, it must be that you hold of talosh ulubasov chibro havitalosh. Something that was detached, subsequently attached, still has the status of something detached. To which the Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe you could hold that once something is attached to the ground, it's considered to be mechubar. That's it. So then why would I violate me'ilah when I live under the roof that is comprised partly of this stone of Hekdish? Why? Because it's near Le'inai. It's visible. It's discernible. And because of that, it is still subject to me'ilah. To which the Gemara's Lema say, Elei. So we'll say, let's bring a Raisa to support this. Hadar bibayis shal Hekdish. If a person lives in a home of Hekdish, kevan shenena mimeno ma'al. Once you go ahead and you benefit from it, ultimately, again, you have committed mi'ilah. Amar Reish Lakish, like Reish says, no, what's the case? Hasam, b'shek dishu l'basof b'no. We'll say that case over there is where what? You were makdish the building materials. So you makdish the building materials, which were what? Which were detached. And then you subsequently go ahead and attach it. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? In that case, even when you build it into the ground, it does not go ahead and lose its Hekdish designation. Aval b'no, ulbasof Hekdisho. We will say, if you built it, and then you are makdish it, then what? My, what's the halacha? Lo ma'o. Why, Rabbi say, why no mi'ilah? Because it's mechubar. Because anything that is mechubar lekarko, ultimately, again, is not going to be subject to mi'ilah. So apparently the exception to that rule is, if you are makdish the building materials and subsequently built those building materials into a home, that home will be subject to mi'ilah. If you build a home and subsequently are makdish it, that home will not be subject to mi'ilah. So we'll say this supports what we said before. The same idea. Even though the stone was detached, now it's attached. And apparently, again, we hold talush ulubasov chibro havi mechubar. Something was detached, subsequently attached, has the status of being something that is mechubar attached. The case of the stone is a bit different. Why? Because halacha says it's nira le'inayim. So the Gemara says, you're right. I'll show you a further example of that. If you took building materials, were makdish them, then built them into a home, they are still subject to me'ilah. Why? Because they are nira le'inayim. Masha'inkin, if you go ahead and you take a home that was chulin, then you're makdish it, that home will not be subject to mi'ilah. To which the Gemara says, let's analyze this. Aval b'no l'basof ikdisho ma'i lomal. So that's, he says, Gemara, my irya, rohit v'tani hadar b'bayish shal ma'ara lomal. So here's what's interesting. Later on in that price, what does the price say? That if a person lived in a home that was a cave, you have a cave home. So what's the halacha? No mi'ilah. Right? No mi'ilah in a cave home, Rabbi say. Why not? Because l'mais again, it's karka. It's karka. To which the Gemara says, if that's the case, why do you have to bring in that situation? If you want to bring an example of a home that is not subject to mila, why do you have to bring up the cave home? So the Gemara says, Lema hadar b'bayis shal avanim shebeno l'basof ikdisho l'amal. Instead, make the two cases like this. If one lived in a home of stones that was first built and then was hukdash, it's not subject to mila. If it was first hukdash and then built, then it is subject to mila. Leave out the case of the cave home altogether. To which the Gemara says, Amri, hapsikale, halopsikale. So you must see, here's the difference. The Bryce apparently was looking for an absolute case of a home that is never subject to mi'ilah. What's the case of a home that is never subject to mi'ilah? Your cave home. Good to know. Your cave home is never subject to mi'ilah. Why? Very simply, because it's a cave. And because it's a cave, Rabbi will say, it was karka, it is karka, will always be karka. So the Gemara was looking for an absolute case. Masha'in came, a home that is made up of stones or of any other building material, those cases are not absolute. Those cases are contingent. They're dependent. Dependent on what? When did the Hekdish designation take place? If the Hekdish designation took place while the building materials were detached materials, then ultimately again the Hekdish designation remains even once the home is built. If the home was built first and then the Hekdish designation was made afterwards, then halacha lemaaseh, the Hekdish designation does not devolve upon the home. Or I should say, the Hekdish designation devolves upon the home, but halacha lemaaseh, it is not subject to Mi'ilah. Very important thing. The Hekdish designation takes place, it's just not subject to Mi'ilah. So we'll say, what comes out over here, therefore, halacha lemaaseh, we see number one, in order for a gizbar to affect Mi'ilah, what has to happen? He has to transfer it out of his domain. That's halacha number one. Halacha number two is that when you go ahead and you take an item from Hekdish and you change it in some way, ultimately again, so you've committed Mi'ilah through the change. Halacha number three. Talosh ulubasov chibro havi mechubar. If you take something that is detached and subsequently attach it, it is considered to be mechubar lekarka. For Mi'ilah purposes, this halacha takes on a little bit of a variation in that if the detached items are recognizable, then they still retain their Mi'ilah designation as detached items. That's why if you take the stone that is recognizable and you build it into the roof, it is subject to Mi'ilah. If you're makdish the building materials and then build a home, subject to Mi'ilah. Even though, again, we hold talosh ulabasof chibro havi mechubar, by Mi'ilah, there is like this little blip in that halacha, in that if the Hekdish items are still recognizable, they will still be subject to Mi'ilah. Shkach, we'll say, Hajna Alach, Hanen, Mazel Tov. Hashliach, so we'll say, so remember again in this last Mishnah, we already began to allude to the concept of Shlichus in Mi'ilah. So specifically, interestingly enough, we saw in the case of the Gizbar, remember again, going back to the last Mishnah, in the case of the Gizbar, we saw that if a Gizbar takes an item from Hekdish, I'm the Gizbar, I take a piece of wood from Hekdish, and what happens? I give it to my friend then uses it. So what did the previous Mishnah say? Hu ma'al, chavero lo ma'al. I, the Gizbar, have committed Mi'ilah, my friend has not committed Mi'ilah. So we'll say, so continuing on that theme, the Mishnah says as follows. Hashliach she'asa shlichuso. This is really very interesting. If a shaliach carried out his agency, bal habayis ma'al. So we'll say, this is really quite fascinating. So if the shliach carried out his agency, then ultimately what? The bal habayis has ma'al. So we'll say, so again, so just to understand what this means. If I go ahead and I give my shaliach an object, and I give him a shlichus, and the object happens to be Hekdish. The shliach did not know it was Hekdish. I give him the shlichus. He performs some type of task with the object. I, the mishaliach, the principal, I am chayiv mi'ilah. My shaliach is not. Now, I'm both saying, now why is this unique? Because normally in halacha, what do we say? Ein shliach ledvar avera. Right, there's no such thing as agency by the commission of sin, which means if I dispatch someone to do something and it turns out to be illegal, so the shaliach is chayef for it. I am not chayef for this. So remember again, Mi'ilah is going to be a little bit different. Tosis points out over here, Hashliach she'asa shlichuso balabai is mal, kidarmina la be'idach perikin, di'alfinan chet chet mitruma. So we'll say we saw this already, the Gemara said, this is based on Gzeir Shevav Chet Chet from Truma. So what I say, there's a concept ultimately again of Shlichus by Mi'ilah. I go ahead and I commission the agent to do something that is Mi'ilah. I will say, of course, again, to be clear, this is a case where the agent is unaware that what he is doing is illegal. He performs an act of Mi'ilah. I, the Mishaleach, am responsible for that Mi'ilah. On the other hand, Lo Asa Shlichuso, Hashliach Ma. Well, see, on the other hand, if what? If I dispatch the agent to do something, and the agent disobeys, he does not perform the terms of his agency, he does something else, then what? He, the shaliach, is responsible for the me'ilah, not me. Which I will say makes sense, because what the Gemara is essentially saying is like this. In a regular case of me'ilah, so the shaliach is an extension of me. But however, the Mishnah says he's only an extension of me if what? If what? If he does what I say. If he chooses to go rogue, right? If he's a rogue shliach and he's doing his own thing, he's no longer an extension of me. He's doing his own thing, therefore he'll be chayiv. Ketzer, I'm going to say, here we go. What's an example of this? Amar lo, tein basra la archim. I say to my shaliach, give meat to our guests. And the case over here is what? Where halacha l'maisa, the meat is kodesh, right? The meat is hektish. So I'm telling him to commit an act of mila, v'nasalam kaveh, and instead he doesn't give them meat, but rather he gives them liver. He gives them liver. In this case over here, the liver is also kodesh, right? It's also hektish. So in all of these cases, so what happens? What's the halacha? Or kaveh v'nasalam basar, or I say to the shaliach, give the guest liver, and instead he gives them meat. So I'll say, so what's happened over here? The shaliach has disobeyed the details of his agency. So what's the halacha? Hashaliach mal. So I'll say in this case over here, it's the shaliach who committed me'ila, not me, the mishaliach. Amar lo, teilem chaticha. So I'll say, listen to this. Teilem chaticha chaticha. Furthermore, if I say to the shaliach, I say, listen, give the guest something to eat. Give them each one piece of meat. And what happens? Vuhu omer telushtayim, and he says to the guests, you know what, guys? Each of you take two pieces of meat, and it gets better. Vehem not lush shalosh, and the guests each took three pieces of meat. So I say, watch this. Shkulam ma'alu. Every is a mi'ila party, right? Everyone has committed mi'ila. We'll say, why is everyone committed mi'ila? So the balabas has committed mi'ila, ultimately, again, because the mishaleach obeyed him. Right, the mishaleach gave them each a piece of meat. The shaliach has committed a mi'ila. Why? Why? Because he gave them a second piece of meat of his own volition. And the arachim have committed a mi'ila. Why? Because of their own volition, they took a third piece of meat. So everyone has committed mi'ila in this particular scenario. Amud Beis. So let's say, here we go. Says the Gemara, man tana dechum. So this is very interesting. Mantana de mimlach, b'chol milsa de mimlach ale shaliach, tarte nili habet. So we'll say, literally translated, who is the Tana who holds that anything for which an agent would go back and consult the mishaliach, the principal, are considered to be two distinct items? Now, what is this talking about? Take a look at the tap Rashi. Rashi says, Mantana de chol milsa de mimlach de shaliach tarte nili ninu, hachi kamar, money mas nisin de mashma. Sometimes an agent sends a principal sends an agent to do something, right? So he says, purchase item A, and the shaliach can't find item A. So what will happen? He'll come back to the mishaliach and I'll say, mishaliach, I couldn't find A. But what? I found B. I found a substitute. So we'll say, so what's interesting is as follows. So in this case, so what we're saying over here is like this. Anytime that the shaliach would come back and ask the principal, and tell the principal, I can't find A, but I would find B, A and B will be reckoned as two distinct items. They both say, why? Because if B was not so dissimilar from A, then what would have happened? What would have happened? The shaliach would have just bought it because he would have understood that that is still within the confines of his agency. The fact that he has to come back to the mishaleach and say, I couldn't find A, but should I find B, tells me that what? A and B are two distinct items. So Rashi says over here, kigon shim sivao balabayis likach lo basa min ashok. So an example of this would be as follows. If the principal told the agent, go buy meat from the marketplace, v'lo matza ela kaveh, and the shaliach goes out and he can't find meat, but he found liver. So what have to happen in such a situation? The shaliach would have to go back ultimately again and tell the shaliach, listen, I couldn't find any meat, but I was able to find liver. Do you want me to buy that? So the Gemara says, "Da'afagav de kulam in basahu, kevin de mimlach alei tre milininu." So I'll say, since even though liver is also called meat, but obviously they're dissimilar enough that the agent would have to come back and ask, kevin de mimlach alei tre milininu. Since he has to ask about it, therefore what? They are considered to be two different items. Midiktani ha-shaliach ma'ali ma'al, so we'll say, going back to the Mishnah. So therefore, we'll say, in this case of the Mishnah, halacha l'maisa, I tell my shaliach, give the archim meat. What does my shaliach do? He gives them what? He gives them liver. Now, we'll say, so what does the Mishnah say? The shaliach has committed a mi'ila. See, here's what's interesting. Liver is in the meat family. Yet, you see that it's dissimilar enough that what? that is considered to be something separate and distinct, which tells you that what? That halacha lemaisa, liver is the type of item where if I sent my agent out to the marketplace to buy something and he couldn't find meat and he only found liver, he would come back and ask me first. So therefore, what is Mishnah teaching me? That any item that a shaliach would come back and ask before purchasing is considered to be a dissimilar item. So whose opinion is this? I'm Rav Chisda de Rabbi Akiva. So Rav Chisda says this is not like Rabbi Akiva. Because what does Rabbi Akiva say? This nan, hanodra min hayarek, if somebody made a nether not to eat vegetables. Yarek, what's the halacha? Mutter bidiluin. He is permitted to eat gourds. Because apparently, according to the Tanakhama, gourds don't fall under the category of yarek. Rabbi Akiva osem. Rabbi Akiva ultimately says that it is usser. Why? What's Rabbi Akiva's logic? Rabbi Akiva's logic, I will say, is that if somebody were to dispatch his agent to go to the marketplace to buy vegetables and the yarek, right? And the I guess yarek really refers more specifically to some type of green vegetables, and the shliach was unable to find yarek, but he was able to find diluin. Ultimately, again, he would purchase the diluin. He would purchase the diluin. Ultimately, again, so the Gemara says, so what do you see from here? That halach, so Abai Amar Afilu Tim Rabbi Akiva. So even Rabbi Akiva would agree over here. Why? Milo Bai Le'im Luche. So what's even going to Rabbi Akiva? The only reason ultimately Rabbi Akiva says that if you make a neder not to eat yarek, that diluin is included, is because halach lemaisa, diluin is still in the family. But even according to Rabbi Akiva, a shaliach would still come back and first ask permission to buy the diluin and wouldn't just do it on his own. And when ultimately, again, the Rabbanah is the servant for Rabba, ultimately, again, they said Nachmani. So Nachmani, Rabbi will say, of course, is Abaye is saying good. So apparently the Gemara is suggesting even Rabbi Akiva, who holds that something similar enough is included in the neder, would still agree that halacha lemaisa, this is something that the shliach would still go back to the mishaleach to clarify if he's permitted to buy it. So man tana the palak of Rabbi Akiva, they will say, who is it that argues on Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the sanya, hanodra min habasar, asar b'chol minei basar. So let's listen to this. The Brisa says that somebody makes a neder not to eat meat. He is asr in all types of meat. Va'asa berosh, uberaglayim, bekana, bekaved, ubalev. So we'll say he's prohibited to go to eat the head, to eat the legs, to eat the windpipe, to eat the liver, to eat the heart. Va'asa bebasar ofov, sumutra basar dogim. He is prohibited to eat chicken, permitted to eat fish, dogim mechagavim, grasshoppers. Rabshimu el matir, berosh, beraglayim, bekana, bekaved, ba'ofos b'dagim mechagam. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel comes along and says, you are permitted to eat the head, to eat the legs, to eat the windpipe, to eat the liver, to eat chicken, to eat fish, and to eat grasshoppers. V'chein hayir Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So I'll say, what do you see from here? You see Rabbi Shimon Gamliel has a much narrower definition, ultimately, of meat. Right? Rabbi Akiva understands that included in meat is pretty much anything that a shaliach would buy if he can't find primary basar. Shulamil says, no, meat mamish refers just to meat. It doesn't refer to these ancillary parts of the animal, nor does it refer to chicken, to fish, or to grasshoppers. The chin harib Shulamil omer, karvayim lav basarim. Vosifram Shulamil says, kishkas, right? Kishkas, the intestines, is not meat. Va'ochleyem lav bar inish. And anyone who eats the kishkas, anyone who eats the intestines, is not really a human being. Right? So Rashi points out over here, what that means is, if you have the opportunity to eat regular meat, and instead you purchase kishka, so there's something wrong with you, right? There's something wrong. So we'll have to stop over here for today. We'll pick up with the Tanakhama Mirza Hashem tomorrow. Shkoyach.